Proverbs 28. Proverbs chapter 28 and verse number 5. If you have a Bible, King James Bible, we're going to read together in unison one verse here this morning. Proverbs 28, verse number 5. Proverbs chapter 28, verse number 5. And let's read together, shall we? Evil men understand not judgment, but they that seek the Lord understand all things. This is going to be part two from what I preached last Sunday morning on understanding. So this is part two. Dear God, again, thank you for being a wonderful God. Thank you, Lord, for your mercy, the fact that you let us live this long, the fact that we're alive, that we're in church this morning. I pray that you bless. Meet with us, dear Holy Spirit of God. Speak to our hearts, dear God, about this truth, about understanding. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. There's no way I can recap everything we said last week, but that God is understanding, and God says not to lean unto thine own understanding, and understanding comes from the Word of God, and so those three points are enough to start this morning's sermon. I said last week that God is understanding. He said not to lean unto thine own understanding, and that you get understanding only from the Word of God. And a lot of times, and I went through the definition of understanding and a whole bunch of other stuff last week, but I am of the firm belief that people lack understanding. It doesn't mean you have to know everything and all the details, as we said last week, but you just have to understand what's going on in life, with God, with you, and with other people. And it's not as complicated as we make it out to be, because too many people don't understand life, and they don't understand God, they don't even understand themselves. And so if you get these two sermons last week and this morning, I think it'll help. Hebrews 11, verse number 3 says, by faith we understand. So you have to come to this belief, this truth here, by faith, just like you did with salvation. You have to believe God, you have to believe the Word of God in order to be saved, and you have to, by faith, learn to understand. If you try to understand outside Scripture, you're going to miserably fail. Understanding only comes from God, and because of that, understanding can only come through the vessel of the Word of God. Lean not unto thine own understanding. And so we don't understand because we lack faith. We want somebody to show us something, and a lot of times we're deceived or fooled by it. Romans 10:17 says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So we understand by faith, and faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Galatians chapter 6, verse 7 says, be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. If you know that truth, if you understand that truth, every person is going to receive exactly what they've sowed. You're going to reap exactly what you sowed. Years ago, 5 or 10 years ago, I preached a sermon on Galatians 6, verse number 7. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. And if you were here in that sermon, I used the corn kernels. You take one kernel, one corn seed, and you get like 3, sometimes 4 ears of corn out of one kernel of corn. Well, you think just because you said or did something, you think it's going to come back the exact same amount that you gave in, that you gave out before, and that's not true. God says, whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. You put in one corn seed, you're going to get at least 3 or 4 ears of corn. You put in one apple seed, you're going to get a tree of apples with a whole bunch of apples. You sow one sin, it's going to come back slap you in the face. Not just in the same amount. You sow one seed of kindness, or generosity, or love, it's going to come back more bountiful. Pressed over. Overfilling, Jesus said. So you have to understand the truths of the Word of God in order to understand life and understand God and understand yourself. Take your Bible, please, and turn to Psalm 119. Some of these we went through Sunday night. I don't remember which ones exactly, but I want to use some of these verses before, as I go through this Bible study this morning on understanding. Psalm 119, verse number 130. I want you to read it. I have it written down here, but I want you to read it, and I want you to see it. We'll see what God says. Psalm 119, verse number 130. The entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple. Just from you reading the Word of God will give you understanding. This is a foundation for the text verse I'm going to use. Now, Proverbs 28:5, where we started, is really not the text verse I want to use this morning, but it's all a foundation as a springboard for where I'm going to get to. So I need you to pay attention on purpose for about 10, 15 minutes before I get to that verse, okay? But this is important because you get understanding by reading the Word of God. Amen. That's what it says in verse number 130 here. He says, "It, the Word of God, the entrance of thy word giveth light, it giveth understanding unto the simple." You said, "Pastor, I don't understand." That's okay. We were all there once before. All you have to do is start reading the Bible. All you have to do is start reading the Bible and understand life and God and yourself. Memorize the Bible, read it over and over, and I'm telling you, your understanding will grow. You'll have more understanding than you've ever had before in your life. Take your Bible, turn to Proverbs chapter number 3. Next book over, Proverbs chapter number 3. Verse number 13. Proverbs chapter number 3, verse number 13. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. You can use any kind of excuse why people are miserable, upset, angry, depressed, despondent. The truth of the matter is, they're not right with God. Because my Bible says in verse number 13, happy is the man that findeth wisdom and the man that getteth understanding. If you're saved, you ought to tell your face about it. If you're a child of God and you're going to go to heaven, you've been saved from hell, there's something wrong going on inside of you. It's not your neighbor, it's not your wife, it's not your husband, it's not your child, it's not your parent, it's not the preacher, it's not the deacon, it's not the Sunday school teacher, it's not the bus or the van or anything, it's not the government, it's not the president, it's not the governor, it's not the mayor, it's not anything except your relationship with God is not right. Amen. My Bible says, happy is the man that findeth, getteth wisdom. That's what he says. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom and the man that getteth understanding. Why? Because the Bible says in Proverbs 8:14 that God says, "I am understanding." And when you find God, you'll find wisdom and understanding. I'm not saying you're not going to have heartaches. I'm not saying you're not going to have difficulties. I'm not saying you're not going to have any burdens. But you can smile even if the tears fall through from your eyes. You can still enjoy your salvation and be glad that you're saved and be friendly and be kind to other people even while you're going through difficult times in life. You choose to do that. You decide to do that. Don't make the excuse, well, so-and-so or something or somebody. No. That doesn't fly with God. My Bible said, turn to Luke chapter number 24, the Gospel of Luke chapter number 24. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 24. This is after the resurrection. The disciples are walking. Jesus shows up. And he starts talking to them. In Luke 24, verse number 45, "Then opened he their understanding, that they might understand the scriptures." Now, this is very interesting. It's sort of like a gerbil on the wheel. Do you ever see a gerbil on the wheel go round and round? Or some animal go round and round? God wants to give you understanding only through the Word of God. Amen. So that you can understand the Word of God. Amen. Let me repeat that. God wants to give you understanding only through the Word of God, so that you can understand the Word of God, so that you'll have a lot more understanding and wisdom in the rest of your life. When you refuse to read the Word of God, you're going to be stunted in your understanding growth. And you're not going to understand people. You're not going to understand God. You're not going to understand yourself. You're not going to understand the things of life. And the worst part, you're not going to understand the Word of God. So you read the Word of God only, it's the only vessel to get understanding. But by getting understanding through the Word of God, then you'll understand the Word of God. And Jesus, the Word of God, opened up, he said in verse number 45, then opened he their understanding, and here's why, that they might understand the Scriptures. In verse number 25, the same chapter, as he's talking to them, then he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart, to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Well, it sounds like he's talking to Americans today. We're slow of heart. Don't you understand what God said in the Bible? Didn't you read this before? Don't you understand what it says here? Well, too many times we're slow of heart. Jesus shows up. He opens up our hearts to understand more of the Word of God so that we can know more about Him, ourselves, and others. Look at John chapter number 8. Gospel of John, next book over. John chapter number 8. John chapter number 8. The Gospel of John chapter number 8. And verse number 43. Why do ye not understand my speech? Even because ye cannot hear my word. Now it's interesting. His speech is the Word of God. These are the words of God that He speaks to us. God's not going to speak to you in a vision or a dream. He's going to speak to you through the Word of God. And how many people you ever heard say, well, I don't understand the Bible? How many times you heard that? Well, here's what he says. Why do you not understand my speech? Even because you cannot hear my word. The more you hear the Word of God, the more you'll understand the Word of God. Look, before I got saved, I used to take out the Gospel of Matthew. And I started reading chapter number 1 and all the genealogies, so-and-so begot so-and-so, so-and-so begot so-and-so, begot so-and-so, begot so-and-so. And I close it up after the first or second chapter. I can't remember right now, but I close it up. It's just as boring. I picked up another part, maybe in Genesis, another thing. So-and-so begot so-and-so, begot so-and-so, begot so-and-so. It's just boring. I close it up. You know why? Because I was lost and did not have the Holy Spirit of God in me, dwelling in me to teach me the Scriptures. But now when I pick up the Bible, because I'm a child of God, because the Holy Spirit came inside of me when I got saved, God now allows me to understand the Bible when I read it. And it's no longer a boring book. Before I got saved, I said, yeah, I don't understand it. Now, I understand it. Remember the verse we started with? They that seek the Lord understand all things. That's quite a bold statement for God to say. Again, as I said last week now, you may not know all the nitty-gritty details of everything in life. You don't need to understand all things. You have to rewind the tape and listen to last week's sermon. All right, now the text verse for this morning, Hebrews chapter 4, please. Hebrews chapter number 4. I said all that to get to Hebrews chapter number 4. Hebrews chapter number 4. A familiar verse to some of us, most of us. If you've been saved for any length of time, if you've read your Bible through at all, Hebrews chapter number 4 and verse number 12. Hebrews chapter 4, verse number 12. For the word of God is quick, and that's an old English word meaning alive. Doesn't mean fast. Quick means alive, like quickened. In the Bible, it's used as alive. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. By you reading the Bible, the Word of God, you will learn more about yourself than you ever thought possible. You think you know about yourself, but you don't know anything about yourself if you have not read the Bible. Because this book, look what it says, is a discerner of your thoughts and your intents. My motives, my intents, and my thoughts are discovered by the Word of God. You don't know yourself outside this book. Not only that, you can know other people by this book. Let me repeat that. This is not only relegated to yourself only. Let's read it slowly. The Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder. It splits of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow. And the Word of God now is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. It's not only for you, it's for everybody. That's a bold, strong statement, if you understood what I just said. Police officers, state troopers, detectives are trained in reading people. Most people today cannot read others because they're not been trained in reading other people. There are certain telltale signs that people give that the average person has no idea about. It may be just a little idiosyncrasy or a little clue or a little sign that detectives who have been taught and trained can surmise that someone is lying or not telling the truth about a subject. Sometimes it's the way a person's eyes move, what their hands are doing, what their fingers are doing, if they fidget, how they squirm, how they act, how they look away, if they become upset or flustered when they are asked a pointed question when they're put on the spot. Yeah, buddy. Watch that. Exactly what Hebrews 4:12 says. Hebrews 4:12 is the spiritual window into how you can understand God, people, things, and yourself. God is understanding. But the only way to know about God is through the Word of God, not dreams, visions, or tongues, or voices. It is only through the Word of God, and God speaks to us only through the Word of God. The reason people do not like the Bible is because they know that the Bible reveals themselves naked before a holy God with whom everyone has to deal with, and there is no cloak for our sin. The Bible is a very convicting book. It reveals exactly who we are. That is why people hate the Bible. That is why people hate Bible preachers. Why is the Bible the most hated book in the world? Why have countries and kings and dictators and popes tried to banish it from the people? They know that if people ever learn what truth is from God, the Word of God, the truth of God, then people would be made free. Amen. Most rulers want to keep their people in the dark so that they can enjoy their reign of terror on the sheeple. That is why politicians hate the Bible. That is why government schools hate the Bible. That is why religious leaders hate the Bible. That is why media newspapers hate the Bible. The Bible reveals exactly who and what they really are and peels away their fake, phony, fraud veneer that they try to present to everyone about how good they think they really are, how loving they think they really are, how helpful they think they really are. This is why people, this will be good, this is a danger. I hear people say this all the time, well, I love Brother Heil's sermons. Well, yeah, how about sitting in his pew and listening to him? Because when he finds out who you really are, he'll preach a sermon about you, see how long you stay there. Yeah, that's true. That's true about every preacher that you don't know personally that doesn't know you personally. You like hearing sermons from someone else because they don't know you. If they're a real man of God, they'll tear you apart on Sunday night or Wednesday night. Because they know you, because they know the Word of God. You like people from a distance. Take your Bible, turn to John chapter number 3, please. This is what they call Bible preaching. A bro roll off, you say porcupine preaching, where you get the point. John chapter number 3. John chapter number 3. Yeah. That's why you need a preacher that you know personally. That he knows you personally because he can show you what you are and what you're not. John chapter number 3, verse number 19. And this is the kind, and I'm not talking just about Brother Hiles, I'm talking about all kinds of preachers. Good preachers I'm talking about. Good preachers. So how come you don't preach like so-and-so? Well, if you were there, they would probably preach on your sins too. Yeah, because they know you. My job, listen, my job is to preach to people truths that they need, not that they want. I'm supposed to preach truths that you personally need, not that somebody 500 miles away needs. I don't know them. I don't know who listens to my sermons online, unless, and they've texted me, or they called me, or they emailed me. Those people I do know, they listen, okay? But I have no idea who listens to me around the world. No idea. All I know is what I know is what you need. My job is to give you what you need, not what you want. That's my job. It's like going to a mechanic. A mechanic's supposed to fix what's broken, not to change good parts for newer parts. Well, a mechanic, it's a dirty job. He's got to know which tool to use at the right time to fix the right parts that's broken or missing in a vehicle. I'm not supposed to change the other parts. I'm supposed to fix the parts that are broken, that are missing. That's what a preacher, one of the jobs for a preacher. And too many times, we have too many people listening to things online because you don't know a preacher that knows you personally, because he'd rub you the wrong way too. John chapter 3, verse number 19. Watch this. And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. That's very interesting and convicting verses. And you know what he's saying? He says, if you're honest, if you have an honest heart, Jesus said this, good ground, honest heart, you'll come to the Word of God and you say, you know what? You're right, God, I'm a sinner. I am messed up. I need your help. But if you're too stinking proud, you're going to hate the preaching, you're going to hate the Word of God, and you're going to stay away from the Word of God because the light shines on your darkness. That's why people stay away from church, Bible-believing churches, Bible-preaching churches. They'd want to go to some evangelical church where they're preaching mush. They want to go to some other non-denominational church where nobody's preaching against sin. And they don't have the light. They don't have the King James Bible. No one feels convicted about their sin. Look, I want to help people. I want to help you see yourself as you really are before a holy God. Amen. Only in that way can God bless you and start living right and doing right so God can continually bless you. I don't want to lie to you and say everything's all right when everything's not all right. Watch this. Turn to John chapter number 2, verse number 23. John chapter number 2, verse 23. Now, when he was at Jerusalem at the Passover in the feast day, many believed in his name when they saw the miracles which he did. But Jesus did not commit himself unto them because he knew all men. Do you think that applies 2018? Do you think Jesus knows you? Amen. Well, is Jesus the Word of God or isn't he? At least three times in the Bible, Jesus called the Word of God. Amen. Which tells me this Bible, this Word of God, knows you too. Amen. Knows you, knows me. You can know a lot about the preacher from the Word of God. Not just what I say, but from the Word of God. Look at the next verse, verse 25. And needed not that any should testify of man, for he knew what was in man. You really don't need for other people to tell you about other people because you already have the Word of God, the discerner of truth. John chapter 15, please. The intents and the thoughts, the motives. This is going to be kind of scary kind of sermon this morning and tonight. It's almost like an x-ray that can strip away your veneer that you think you put on a cool show. You're cool. You're a cool cat, you know. You think you got it all together until you meet God. That pride has deceived you. Your beauty has deceived you. Your youth and your strength have deceived you. John chapter number 15, verse number 22. If I had not come and spoken unto them, Jesus speaking, they had not had sin. But now they have no cloak for their sin. You know why the Pharisees got upset with Jesus? He peeled away their fake, phony, fraud veneer. And they were ashamed and embarrassed, and their pride hurt them because he revealed to all the people the fake, phony, fraud Pharisees. Look, if a pastor doesn't believe the King James Bible is the Word of God, he's a fake, phony, and fraud theologian leader. A scholar, a theologian, whatever you want to call him. If he doesn't have enough brains that God gave him to know the King James Bible is the Word of God, he's a fake, phony, fraud. Well, I say that about religious leaders, but it's true about everybody else too. Amen. Because there's other verses and other truths in the Bible that reveal that how shallow we really are before God. Amen. I don't want you to be shallow. I don't want you to be an empty suit. I don't want you to be a nothing as you're going through life, just breathing. I want you to know God, I want you to know yourself, and I want you to know people. And if you do that, you will live a victorious Christian life, ladies and gentlemen. People go to have their fortunes read. Palm readers. My grandfather told the story that one time a fellow went to a palm reader, and that palm reader was reading the lines, you know, said, well, this is going to happen, and this is going to happen, and down the road, this is going to happen, and this is going to happen real soon. And the fellow said to the palm reader, says, do you see anything else in the near future? And the palm reader said, no. He took his hand and slapped her across the face like that. He said, you didn't see that? I don't know if that's true or not. It's a Greek grandfather, what I can tell you. I don't know. But people go to palm readers to get their future read. I can tell you your future. Did you hear what I just said? I can tell you your future. You're either going to be in heaven or you're going to be burning in hell. I can tell your future. You're either going to be blessed of God or cursed of God. Why would you go to a palm reader who's going to lie to you and take your money? So people go read tarot cards, use Ouija boards, tea leaves, coffee grinds. I have an aunt. She takes Greek mud, coffee, you know, turns it upside down, the cup, and then reads the coffee grinds on the inside of the cup to tell people's future. And people buy that. They believe it. But yet they won't believe the Lord Jesus Christ and the very Word of God. People go to seances and want to be cast under spells and go into the spirit world and bring up the dead and talk to the dead. What sign are you? What sign are you? You're more involved with the astrology charts than you are with the Word of God. You're more concerned with Dear Abby and Dear Ann Lander says and the astrology chart in the newspaper than you are with the very Word of God. Who knows you? The Word of God knows you. It can reveal yourself to you like you're looking in the mirror, even deeper than just the skin. Devil worshippers and witches and warlocks and God haters. Voodoo. Witch doctors. They try to tell you about yourself and your future. And so people go by their instincts instead. They go by their intuition, their heart, their vibes, their feelings, whatever you just name it. That is exactly how the devil will destroy you. The devil does not want you to know the truth about God, about yourself, about people. God wants you to know the truth about him, about you, and about others. And yes, ladies and gentlemen, I can tell you your future. I don't have to know all the nitty-gritty details. If you're born again, if you've asked Jesus to save you, you'll be in heaven with Jesus forever. If you've rejected Jesus Christ to be your Savior, you will be burning in hell for all eternity without any escape. That's better than any fortune teller can tell you. I can tell you this much, the more you obey God, the more God will bless you. I can tell you this much, the more you disobey God, the more God will curse you. There's a future right there, ladies and gentlemen. Genesis 42, verse 23. If you remember the story with when Joseph was sold into Egypt into bondage as a slave, went to the dungeon there, got up, and became Pharaoh's right-hand man. Then everybody in Israel, in the land of Jordan there, went through a famine, and his brothers came back into Egypt to buy, you know. Remember the story? And they met Joseph. And they didn't know who Joseph was. And it's interesting because the Bible says in Genesis 42, 23, they knew not that Joseph understood them, for he spake unto them by an interpreter. So here's the 11 brothers that grew up with Joseph. He must have been dressed in religious garb, probably shaved, the Bible says. A little older now, 10, 20 years have passed, I don't know. For whatever reason, they did not recognize Joseph, but Joseph knew who they were. And Joseph didn't act like he knew who they were. And on purpose, he made them speak in their language and got an interpreter to interpret into the Egyptian language. And they understood not, the Bible says, that Joseph knew them. It doesn't matter whether you believe me or not this morning. I know you. I know by the way you look, the way you act, the way you walk, the way you talk, the way you sit. I know you. You don't think I know, but I know you. I know how messed up you are up here. I know how messed up you are down here. And you need the preacher's help more than you think you know. You need God's help more than you think you know. You need the word of God's help more than you think you know right now. Deuteronomy 32:29 says, "Oh, that they were wise, that they understood this, that they would consider their latter end." Let me repeat that. Oh, that they were wise, that they understood this, that they would consider their latter end. I want you to consider the end of your life. I don't know when I'm going to die, and I don't know when you're going to die. But I want you to die right with God. Because when you die, I want God to say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." I want God to be well pleased with you when you die. I can't tell you the date, the time, or the place that you're going to die. But I can tell you this much, either God will be pleased with you or he will not be pleased with you. There's no middle ground with God. There's no lukewarm with God. 1 Samuel 4:6 says, "When the Philistines heard the noise of the shout," they were shouting. The people of God were shouting. They said, "What meaneth the noise of this great shout in the camp of the Hebrews?" And the verse goes on to say, pay attention. They understood that the ark of the Lord was come into the camp. The enemy, the Philistines. He said, "Why are these people shouting?" So, they brought back the ark of God into their camp. Hey, you know why you're not smiling and happy and glad and saying amen and glad that you're in church and glad that you're saved and being friendly? There's something missing in your heart this morning. Oh, you may be a child of God, but the ark's missing. The power of God's missing. The love of God's missing. Maybe you have a stubborn, rebellious heart or a critical spirit or attitude, and you can't be happy this morning. And you want to blame it on somebody else. No, you can be happy in North Korea. Yeah, you can. You can be happy in Iran. Amen. You can be happy in the worst country in the world. Amen. If you're a child of God and right with God. Amen. But people are miserable in the greatest country in the world. These people are dying. People from Mexico, Guatemala, Honduras are dying to come across the border so they can live where you're living, and you're miserable that you're living here, being blessed of God. You don't understand what they understand. Nehemiah 8, verse 12. "And all the people went their way to eat and to drink and to send portions and to make great mirth because they had understood the words that were declared unto them." You need a sports game to make you happy. You need your favorite team to win. You got to get drunk. You got to play games. You have to have something else. You need some comedian to make you laugh. You need somebody to say some vulgar jokes to get you going and make you laugh and to make you happy. Did you ever read the story of Roger Dangerfield, probably one of the funniest men you'll ever hear in your life? He said he's probably the most depressed man in the world. Yeah. So what you do is you go spend money to go to a concert to make you feel good. You know what we need? We need the Word of God. We need to understand the Word of God. They had great mirth, the Bible says, because they understood. Mirth means great joy and happiness. They were singing, dancing, having a great time only because they understood the words that were declared unto them. You know what? When I was going to church, after I got saved, my mindset was, I want that Sunday school teacher, I want that preacher to show me something from this book. That's all I wanted to know. And blessed be God, man, it'll be 40 years I've been saved this November, amen. 40 years. I can't tell you how many hundreds of times I've read this book. I'm going to be honest with you. I mean, I've read Proverbs hundreds of times. You're miserable because you only read it about maybe once, if you've read it. Have you ever read Proverbs? Have you ever read Acts? Once, twice, three times? But you know it all, don't you? You know everything. Okay. When the preacher says something about music, or the preacher says something about standards, or the preacher says something about anything, if I were you, I'd pay attention. I'm not saying I know it all. Wives know it all. We all know that, right? Especially if you're married. Wives know it all, right? But you know, the preacher does know a little bit. He just wants you to be blessed of God. Psalm 73. I want you to read this one. Let's go turn there. Psalm 73. Psalm 73. I just want to be a help. There are some people who want me to be a help to them. There's some people, they don't want me to help them. I'm not forcing myself on anybody. I can't force myself on anybody. Psalm 70, there's enough people who want my help that I'm concerned about wanting to help them. When God knocks you upside the head, you know my number, you know my email, you know my text, you know the church address, you know where I live, you come look me up. I'm not going to get mad at you. I'm not going to be upset or angry at you. I understand.
You.
I understand that you're going through something right now. It might only take a month. It might take 3 months. It might take 6 months. I've seen it last for 10 or 20 years. However long you want to go through it, it's your decision. It's your decision. It's up to you. Psalm 73. Again, we've read this chapter before, but I don't want to read the whole chapter, but you know, the psalmist is not quite understanding why good, blessed things are happening to evil, wicked people when the people that are living right are not being blessed, it looks like, and going through tough times. Until you get to verse number 17. Until I went into the sanctuary of God, then understood I their end. Hey, you see somebody who's rich, wicked, vile, enjoying their life? I want you to remember something. They're going to be burning in hell if they reject Jesus Christ. Let them enjoy themselves while they can. Don't be envious or jealous at them. You love them, you pray for them, because if they end up that way, they're going to be burning in hell for all eternity. You see somebody you think they're getting away with murder and they're getting away with wickedness, don't let it bother you, because God's going to catch up with them one day. And they're going to stand before God and give an account for everything they've ever done, everything they've ever said, and everything they've ever thought. Everything. If you believe that, you'll understand, you know what? Just leave it in God's hands. God knows what's going on. So why am I going through these struggles, Pastor? Why do I have to have these burdens? Why do I have to have these problems? Well, if you read the Bible, you'd understand why. We mentioned some of them last week. To get the gospel to certain people, so certain people can get saved. So you can be a good testimony. Hey, don't give up on anybody. People are going through a tough time right now. They're listening. Look, every single person that gets saved brings a lot of baggage with them from before their salvation into their new life now. They got skeletons in their closet. They got baggage they're bringing with them. And little by little, they're casting them off as they're reading the Bible. Don't get upset with them because they haven't thrown out all the baggage yet. I still got stuff I'm trying to straighten out in my life 40 years later. Just be patient with people. Don't get angry. Even if they get angry with you, don't you get angry with them. You should understand them better than they understand you. Amen. But he said, until I went into the sanctuary of God, then understood I their end. I understand why people are doing what they're doing, because they hate God. Or they love God. Matthew chapter 16, please. You know what? No, let's keep. We're going to run out of time. Take your Bible, turn to Romans chapter number 1. Romans chapter number 1. Romans 1. The gospel of Romans. The gospel. Romans chapter number 1. You'll get my age. 1 year older than Rich Thatcher is really old. Romans chapter number 1. Did I say that out loud? Romans chapter 1, verse number 20. Again, this goes with Hebrews 4, verse number 12. For the invisible, and I mentioned sort of this in the adult Bible study, if you remember. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen. Did you read that? The invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. You try covering up your thoughts and intents and your motives. Anybody who's been trained as a detective can read you. Just think what a preacher can do if he knows that, and on top of that, the Word of God. They'll repeat that. Go online, search, and find out the little idiosyncrasies that detectives look for to find out if people are lying, how they fidget and how they move their eyes and they look away. Just go look it up. Put on top of that a preacher that knows the Word of God. It's clearly seen. The invisible things on the inside are clearly seen by the things that are seen. Now, I'll be honest with you. When you come, let's say you come into the church this morning. I don't know if you got right with God before you came in or not. I don't know if you started rebelling against God before you came in or not. I don't know all those things. But you give me a little time and I can know them. You give me a little discourse, a little conversation, you'll be surprised what I can know. I'm not saying I can read everything in your mind, but God can. And anybody who knows the Word of God can. Because the invisible things are clearly seen. I know you're hanging around the wrong crowd. I'm just telling you, I can tell. So not everybody, obviously. Some of you are watching the wrong things. Some of you listen to the wrong things. You're saying? The invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 13, when I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. Too often, too many adults are still in their childhood. They're still at the 5-year-old stage or the 10-year-old stage, like they're on the playground somewhere, and they're acting like a bunch of babies. That's what America is today. They're a bunch of babies. Americans are acting like a bunch of babies. They're whining, complaining. They're claiming victimhood. They want everybody to feel sorry for them. Why don't you read the Bible and find out about yourself? That you can do great things through the Lord Jesus Christ. God has great things prepared for you that you have no idea what it's about. So, preacher, God can't use me. You'd be shocked what God could do with you, man. Say, you don't understand what I've done. God's been looking for you. God's looking for people who just got out of jail and prison. God's been looking for people who just have a broken heart. Their wife or their husband just left them. Somebody in their family committed suicide. A best friend just overdosed. Hey, God's looking for a broken heart, a contrite spirit. God's not looking for somebody who's rebellious and stubborn. God's been looking for you. If you want to be used of God, God's been looking for you. If you're not, just we'll wait another year, 5 years, 10 years, till you end up in jail or prison. And then when you get out, maybe God will break you then. Maybe when your wife or your husband leave you then, maybe God will use you then. Maybe when someone close to you commits suicide, maybe God will use you then. But the sad fact is God can use you now. Why don't you just yield to him now and let him use you? You see, the Bible says that we're all a bunch of sinners, ladies and gentlemen. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Why? You don't have to mask that. You don't have to. You say, I admit I'm a sinner saved from hell. Amen. But the more money you got, the more power you have, the more leverage you have over other people's lives, you don't want to admit that you're a sinner. Well, God can't use those kind of people. The first step is acknowledging your sin. The first step is admitting that you're messed up. Because God and others know it. 1 Corinthians 14 says, verse number 9, except ye utter by the tongue words easy to be understood. How shall it be known what is spoken for you speak into the air? I think you pretty much understood everything I said this morning. Maybe you liked it, maybe you didn't like it. But I try speaking as clearly as I possibly can so that everybody understands what I'm saying. I like what Brother Heil said. He answered somebody's question about how people received him in Hammond, Indiana when he got there. He says, well, when I walk down the street, people either want to kiss me or I got a duck. You know why? Because everybody clearly understood what he was saying. I want you to clearly understand what I'm saying to you. I want you to know God loves you. I want you to know I love you. I want you to know this book reveals who you are to God and others who know this book. And you can put up a facade all you want. You can put a veneer all you want. And you can say everything you want contrary to who you really are. But one day you're going to see him before God, who's going to strip us all. He's going to strip the veneer all away from us. The facade all away from all of us. And then all men are going to give glory to God. And none of us are going to get the glory. Only Jesus will get the glory. Hey, before that time comes, why don't you just submit yourself to God and give yourself to God right now? Because this book will reveal you in due time. Amen. Let's all stand. Dear God, thank you again for loving us. Lord, I don't want to play detective. I don't think anybody should. And I don't think we ought to be busybodies into other men's business. But it's very obvious, just from reading the Word of God, that we can know that people are suffering because of their sin or because of their parents or because of the situation that they were born in. Some people are handicapped. Some people have health problems and mental problems. Some people have financial problems. Some people were born into the welfare cycle. All they knew was growing up was food stamps. Some people grew up with drugs and alcohol and booze and lives being shattered and destroyed. Some people grew up with the truth and rejected it. Some people grew up with the Word of God and rejected it. Some people grew up with loving parents and rejected them. Regardless, everybody, Lord, is going through everything for a reason. And those of us who read the Word of God can understand what they're going through. Again, we may not know all the nitty-gritty details. We don't have to know all the facts and all the details. All we have to do is be understanding, to love them wherever they're at. Be patient with them. And let them learn and grow the way we all did after we got saved. All of us, unfortunately, most of us, had a chip on our shoulder after we got saved without even reading the Bible once or twice. All of us knew more than we thought we knew. Lord, I want to thank you, Lord, for your mercy, your long-suffering, your patience towards all of us. Help us be that way to everybody. Help us to love people where they're at. Help us to be an encourager, not a discourager. Thank you again for salvation. Thank you, Lord, for this church. Thank you, Lord, for these here folks. I pray that you bless them. I pray if there's anybody in this room that's not saved, Lord, I pray they'll come forward and get saved this morning. Father, I pray if there's anybody saved, but they've not been baptized after they got saved, I pray they'll come forward and get baptized this morning. Please meet with us, dear Holy Spirit of God. Bless the invitation. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.